are walking around with your mind in neutral, by the time you put your mind in gear, it will be too late. I guarantee it. It'll be too late, and you will fail, and you'll be on your knees, and you'll be asking God for forgiveness. You'll be repenting. And if you keep your mind in neutral, it's only a matter of time before you're walking that fleshly walk. Look with me, please, in 1 Peter chapter 1, clear in the back of your book. 1 Peter chapter 1. See, Satan tempts us in our areas of weakness. That's why Peter wrote this. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Notice the language that he uses. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind? Really? He didn't say gird up the loins of your heart. No. He said gird up the loins of your mind. That means to get your mind set. Get your mind out of neutral. Get your mind engaged and in gear. Ready for the fight. See, it's one thing to be aware of what's going on around you in the natural world or in the spiritual world, but it's another thing to be ready to engage. I like NRA? No. Well, that too. NHRA, National Hot Rod Association. Every now and then, I will be flipping through the channels and they'll have drag racing on. I love to watch drag racing. Those guys will get up to the line and they will warm up their tires by burning their tires for a while, and it'll jump out, and then they'll get pushed back, and they'll wipe the tires down, and they'll get all ready, and they'll get pre-staged, and they'll get all pre-staged and ready to go. And then when the next one pulls in and he's pre-staged, they're both ready to race. Guess what? Their engine and their transmission is not in neutral. Mm-mm. Why? Because when the light turns green, they got to drop the clutch and go. They got to engage. That's the same thing with us. If our minds are in neutral and we're coasting through life, things will take us by surprise. People will say things to you and it'll set you back a little bit and you'll have to think about it. And then, if it doesn't set you back and you have to think about it, maybe something uncolorful will come popping out of your mouth. Whoops, had my jar vesseled. My vessel jarred a little bit. Keep your mind out of neutral. Get it in gear. Get it engaged. Get it ready to fire. I tell Kathy when she'll go up to Dollar General from time to time, or she'll go to wherever, Aldi's, Schnucks, wherever. And I'll say, dear, know what's going on around you. Be safe. Because there are so many people that are just living their little old lives, and they're in there, they're going in for a loaf of bread. That's all they're going to do for them. They're oblivious to anything else around them. Their mind is total neutral. And when something happens, it's like, no. When your mind is not in neutral, when you are constantly aware of the things going on around you, you can see things happen before they're going to happen. Same thing in the spiritual realm. When you anticipate spiritual warfare in the morning, before you put your feet on the floor and you pray, God, open my eyes, open my spiritual eyes, keep my mind engaged because I know there's something coming. Now, that doesn't make me a bad person. That makes me a prepared person. How else do you gird up the loins of your mind? It means to be prepared, to gird up the loins of your mind, and to keep your mind engaged, ready to engage the enemy. Because when your mind is set, guess what? It defines who you are. And who you are determines what you do or what fits you. Secondly, set your mind. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What is affection? That's your mind. Set your mind on things from above. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit rather than the things of this world, rather than the things of the flesh. Set your mind on the things that please God. And when you set your mind, it defines who you are, so that when a temptation comes, when something controversial comes, when your mind is invaded by Satan, you just let it go right on by. Because it's not who you are. You're just passing through. Have you ever known anyone to take a vacation and their end result was the rest area on the interstate? Huh? No. It's a nice place. It's got electricity. It's got toilets. It's got running water. What more do you want? People go camping with less. Why isn't a rest area the destination for thousands of people? Why? Because they're just passing through. This life, we're just passing through. The Bible tells us that we're sojourners. We're just passing through. It doesn't belong to us. We have a heavenly home, not made with human hands. That's where our affections are to be. We're just passing through. So when some evil thought comes your way, it's like, sorry, just passing through. I want to say something so bad to my wife. Just passing through. Just passing through. But that guy shouldn't have said that. Just passing through. This is not my home. My affections are on things from above. Anything contrary to that, the alarm goes off. And then you realize that that's not who I am. Ron Hill and I. Ron Hill was my Dwayne back when I was in high school. Okay, anyway. He was a very good friend. Every weekend, I was either at his place or he was at our place. It didn't really matter because if I was at his place, we were out camping and hunting and fishing. If he was at my place, we were out camping, hunting, and fishing. It really didn't matter where we said we were going to be. We were always out camping, hunting, and fishing. Well, I mean, I had a to-go bag always packed in the trunk of my car. I had a little tent in there, and that one burned up. Anyhow, yeah, okay, anyway. One day, It was, we had a long weekend or something, and we stayed out for the entire weekend, and we're going to have eggs. And I said, "Hey, dude, where's the fry pan?" He goes, "Well, I thought you were going to bring one." "No, you always bring it. It's about this big. It's a little cast iron fry pan. We just lay it right in the coals, man. Didn't you bring that?" "No." "Well, how are we going to cook these eggs?" "Well, I don't know." I said, "Give me my knife." So he tossed me my knife, and I reached back behind a log, and I got the old can of beans from last night that we'd eaten. Knocked the ants out of them. Took and cut the end out of it, and then I got a limb, a branch, stuck in it, and stuck it through it, and then took my knife and ripped it up so that I had now a can that had the side ripped open, and when I opened it up, well, it was like a little fry pan with ribs. So we couldn't put a full egg in there because it would run out. So we had to put a little bit of egg in at a time. And when that little bit was done, we'd take it off and we'd put it on a plate and put it back in there, put a little more egg on there. And that was done. And we'd put it on. That's how we were doing it. Okay. We were going to have eggs one way or the other. We were having eggs. Well, we got one plate, and Ron was in the process of doing this, and some of the egg fell out into the ashes and on the dirt, and I just saw him pick it back up and put it right back in with the rest of the eggs. I said, "I bet that's mine, isn't it?" He goes, "Yep." I said, "Ah, a little clean dirt never hurt anybody." So as I'm eating my eggs, I was chewing on them, and then all of a sudden, crunch. "What was that?" I go, "Rock." I learned at a young age how to separate rock out of eggs. I bet you have learned how to separate the meat from the bone. Hello? When our mind is set, it defines who we are, and who we are determines what we do. When our mind is set, we are engaged, waiting for that spiritual attack. And when it comes, we just let it pass right on by. Why? Because it's not who we are. It doesn't fit us. Why do you think we've been looking for the last 14 Sundays on the Spirit-filled life, defining each virtue of the fruit of the Spirit? So that we can truly know what God is desiring in our lives. And it all circles back around to abiding in the vine. Because when we are abiding in the vine, yes, we may have no fruit and He disciplines us so we have some fruit, and then He prunes us so we have more fruit. But when He invites us to abide with Him, He gives us much fruit. Satan's not going to let us go. It's not going to be an easy venture for us, an easy path. He's going to attack and attack and attack. And if we are living in our own strength, we become weary in well-doing. And our struggle is, "I'm so tired of this struggle. It's just easier if I give up. I never had a struggle when I was lost. I have a struggle now that I'm saved. But I found that when I'm abiding, and when those things come my direction and I shun them away, I do not entertain them. Guess what? The action does not take place. When our minds are set, it determines what we do, and what we do determines..." defines who we are and what we do. That's right. Okay, very good. Look with me, please. Thirdly, anything contrary is trouble. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, and then I'm going to close pretty soon. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When I'm thinking godly thoughts, when I'm focusing on what God wants, when I'm looking at what God has done in nature, when I look at the sweetness of the day and the coolness of the breeze and the little bug that's crawling across the patio, and it's like, God, you made that little bug. When you set your mind on the things from above, anything that comes to that that's contrary sends off the alarm. And when the alarm is rung, that's when you engage. And you know, that's not who I am, and you just let it pass right on by. That's how the victory is won. The fourth thing is this. Destroy speculations. Destroy them. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every, what? Thought. Wow. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means every thought that comes to us, we are to captive. We are to take it captive. And then we determine, is this who I am, or is this not who I am? And when that determination is made, it's a done deal from that point on. Once you start debating, should I, should I not? Should I really do this? Should I not do this? Should I not? It's only a matter of time before you lose. When you look at the thought process, from thought to entertain to harbor, when the thought comes, if you don't entertain it and you don't harbor it, guess what? There's no action. You don't have to get on your knees and repent of the thought, because you didn't react to that thought. That's how we get victory. That's how the victory is won. Get your mind engaged. Set your mind. Focus on the things that are above, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why else would Paul say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Why didn't he say, let this heart be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Because it's not an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the mind. Because that's the seat of the will. And that's why Satan will bring those evil thoughts to our mind. So get your minds out of neutral this next year. We have been focusing on what God is doing in our lives to get us to this point of bearing much fruit. God's going to change our focus and wants us to focus on Him, on bringing us to a new and higher level of worship. I'm not talking about the songs we sing or the way we sing. No, I'm not talking about that. That is a heart thing. God wants us to so caress His face that when we leave this place, we will know we've been in the presence of God because of the embrace that He's given us. And that's what we're going to focus on next year. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You, Father, for who You are and the insight into Your Word that You have given. We pray, Father, for each one that's here tonight. We pray, Father, that You will dismiss us with Your grace and with Your mercy. And Father, that You'll be exalted in our lives, not just when we leave, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day and next week and next month. That we can constantly take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ so that we can truly let His mind be in us. And we thank You, Father, for all that You have done in our lives and in the life of our church. We pray that You'll dismiss us now with Your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.